At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D. And yes, we've been sitting in these chairs for at least 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. birthday, by the way. The reason, and apparently the way that downtown Las Vegas handles that is they create all kinds of detours, and we barely got here in time for the show.
Yeah, I felt like I felt like I was being tested, like a a mouse, like in a maze, right?
And it
was
how
like
many times did you try to?
It
turn
was
left?
Like an idiot test of how many times I was like, I'm like, all right, got to go back over that way. Oh wait, road closed. I got to go back over that road closed. Okay,
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know what construction's going on down
exactly
here.
Exactly what happened to me. Thanks for warning me, by the way, on that. We are here, though, and we are ready to talk football. Everything that has gone by this past weekend, everything that's about to happen here today, kind of like the 2-2-2 in the end. Kind of like the 2-2-2.
I don't know if you had the same thought, like, on Saturday. I didn't text you about this, but I was like, it really screws up show plans for the next two days for me.
It does that.
But, like, from a football-watching perspective
fantastic.
For us?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Well, so let me start there before we get into today's games, and then we'll look back at everything over the weekend, and Lord knows there's plenty to talk about. That was my first thing. So Friday, you know, we obviously do 5 shows a week, and typically I will get to every point that I want to make during the course of a week, usually that day. Friday afternoon, like, I'm home, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, how is it that I went 5 days without even uttering the possibility, like giving life the possibility of, you know, this Chiefs-Dolphins game, I wonder if they'll postpone it. The Chiefs-Dolphins specifically, right? So I was like beating on myself for not having even brought that up. And I'm like, wow, I mean, like, I wonder what temperature this could get to in the forecast where they tell everybody we're going to do this a different day. And then Saturday morning, it's not that game. It's the other game. It's the lake effect blizzard in Buffalo
right.
That creates the postponement from Sunday morning to today. And so I was glad then I didn't bring up anything because I would have had the wrong game anyway.
Yeah, it's funny you thought that because when that news came down, I kind of did the whole, why did, like, nobody talked about this all week, it felt like. Like, nobody talked about this even being a possibility,
I felt
right?
So stupid that I hadn't
yes.
Brought it up. Yes.
So
that, I mean.
You know, I hear you. We were discussing this yesterday. Like, at what point is it, like, you bring a child, right, to that Kansas City game. Like,
right.
At what point is that too dangerous?
Well, because, and then I also, and I was corroborated by some doctors I know who were like, yeah, that's, like, super dangerous to have. And we saw helmets getting cracked
yeah.
On the field. Right, I mean, so clearly. But anyway, so that's the sort of biggest off-the-field headline of the weekend. And yesterday, the conditions in Buffalo are going to be cold, but they will not have the wind issue that they would have had. So that's a go today in the first of two games. The other things before we get into those, though, I also felt like this weekend, and I'll just get off the off-the-field stuff first. I'll just brain dump it now, is I felt like it was this weird, beyond me not communicating that possibility, I felt like it was a weird weekend just in terms of all the stuff going on around the games. First of all, the Peacock-NBC game, which was the Chiefs and the Dolphins game. You know, there's already millions, tens of millions of Americans who already angry as could be the fact that that game was on streaming only. And then for them to have the audacity, right, the moxie, the chutzpah, to have the whole ad campaign of be a part of history, right, which I thought was like, are they for real?
Well,
like, who approved
night,
this?
Right, like last night, Tirico, like, going through the numbers of how successful
it
was.
Oh, my God,
stuff,
stop
it. I was
it.
Like, what is going on right now?
Then, like, I just think there's, like, stuff that goes on, too, that, you know, announce, you know, we know that's happening, but we don't really know the depths of which. So A.J. Brown can't play today for the Eagles. He removed all connection to the Eagles off social media. And I thought to myself, I'm like, what is the Eagles story we're not being told? Like, how much has Sirianni lost this locker room? What's going on behind the scenes in Philly? We know that it's gone bad. Just how bad, I'm not sure we're getting the full story.
Well, that would be the only way these rumors even make sense to me.
Of him not being
fired.
The coach,
yeah,
if they get
exactly.
Right, if they lose.
A.J. Brown had a boxing match on Saturday night.
He did?
Yeah, in Atlantic City.
Sure. That makes sense. And then what was the other one? The other one was, like, during the first half of the Cowboys' disaster against the Packers yesterday, we'll get into all that. Did you feel like Kevin Burkhardt, for the first half of that game, kept harping on this point that something was off between Dak and CeeDee Lamb that went beyond what was actually happening on the field? Like, he said it five different times.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, there's something going on. Like, he had to know something that he wasn't able to share with the audience that was beyond what was actually happening on a guy who just hadn't had any catches yet. I just thought there was all these weird things happening around the football.
I mean, I thought
games.
It was odd. I thought it was odd. He kept saying that. I did think it was. I did just think the Dak CD connection was odd.
After the fifth time, I was like, just tell us what you know.
Right.
us what you know, Kevin.
I mean, those first three throws to CeeDee Lamb was like, it looked like two guys that had never played catch together before. It was incredible.
It's very odd. Anyway, as far as today's games, so we'll get at everything from the weekend here in depth, but as far as today's games are concerned, so on the Beating the Book Megapod, we usually do three games a week in a normal NFL week. This is the week where we only do six wild card weekend games, so we only pick our two best bets. Mine both happen to be today as a result of the postponement of the Bills-Steelers game. Now, here's the deal. I'm on the Steelers plus 10, but a huge part of that handicap was they're going to play in all this wind condition, 30 to 50 miles per hour, whatever forecast you bought into this past week. Now, that's not going to happen. The wind is going to be tame by comparison today. So do I like my Steelers plus the 10? And by the way, it should be mentioned that depending on the book at which you bet here, this is either a refund for you, avoided bet, and you have to bet it again if you want to, or the bet stands. Some books are going to say it has to be the actual day of schedule. Others are going to say it stands for a certain amount of time. So I won't say stuck with this Steelers plus 10, but I certainly don't love it as much.
Yeah, sure, of course. No, you're stuck with it.
Yeah. That's
it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have made the bet otherwise.
I would not have.
I mean, multiple guests on that made the same bet for the same reasons.
Well, we had people who took the Steelers on the money line, remember?
Right, yeah. I mean, we're talking, I'm looking at the weather now. It's getting better and better as every hour goes on from yesterday. It looks like by kickoff time, we're going to have like 10-ish miles an hour, mile an hour sustained winds with gusts like 15.
And a balmy 18 degrees.
Right.
Which is cold, but obviously what we saw Saturday night in Kansas City, not all that cold by comparison. So I am stuck with that bet. Can the Steelers keep it within 10? I hope so, but I wouldn't have bet on it, quite frankly. So that's the thing. Can the Steelers churn enough clock here today? Do you have any play on this game at all?
No, oh, I had a... I love my teaser leg position, but that was tied in with the Dallas Cowboys, so that's out the window.
Yeah.
Right now, nothing on this game. I still think that there's Buffalo side I'd like to get involved with somehow. I just haven't figured that out exactly yet.
Okay. All right.
It might be an in-game look. Might be looking at a team total over or something like that.
4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific for that. Same schedule as the last 2 days now. And then Philly and Tampa is tonight, the 8:15 Eastern, 5:15 Pacific game tonight, scheduled in this time slot, as it has been. The Eagles, 2.5-point favorites. It's kind of hung there all week. 2.5, 3. We're seeing 3 as a consensus now. Eagles, 3-point favorites at Tampa Bay. I got the Eagles minus 2.5 early in the week. And again, I admit it, the flimsiest of all handicaps. And I should say I had four bets. I split them. I had Houston. That got home. I had Miami, which didn't. And again, I was couldn't have been more wrong about that game. But I the flimsy handicap on the Eagles is it can't be that bad, right? They can't suck this much that a team that had been so good, and even through the 10-1 record, I was the first person to say they shouldn't have been 10-1. They probably should have lost multiple of those games. But they can go into Tampa Bay and beat this outfit, can't they? And now you hear all the A.J. Brown stuff, and I'm like, do I love this bet? I don't love this bet either. So I have two. I got both both Pennsylvania teams, one getting the points, one giving the points, and I don't love either of them, quite frankly. One because of a postponement, and the other one because as news keeps trickling in, it starts to dawn on you, oh, this might be every bit as bad as they're making it out to be.
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way. I did end up over the weekend putting a small bet in on the Eagles minus 2.5 as well, so I'll be riding that one with you. But it's, I mean, and I really wish I could add to it, but it's really your same handicap, man. It is. The Eagles really this bad going into Tampa with, I think Baker Mayfield's going to try to tough guy it out right through some stuff here. I just can't imagine that the Eagles are going to lose this game, but man, this team has been awful down the stretch.
So now, again, keep in mind, the only division game that is set is Green Bay at San Francisco. We'll talk about that. That's going to be the Saturday night game. The first game on Saturday will be, once again, the Houston Texans time slot, which Buddhist Man had a great tweet yesterday. He said, if the Texans advance to the Super Bowl, they're going to move it to the early time slot on Saturday. Now, while we know that it is going to be Green Bay at San Francisco Saturday night, we await who Detroit will play Sunday morning, the winner of that Tampa Bay-Philadelphia game. And as far as the AFC is concerned, that is very much up in the air. With the Bills-Steelers outcome. If the Bills do win that game, the Bills will host the Kansas City Chiefs in the 3-2 game in the AFC. If the Steelers somehow emerge victorious, they will go to play Pittsburgh, and Houston will go to Kansas City. Otherwise, in the scenario where Kansas City plays Buffalo, Houston will go play at Baltimore. So we'll give potential predictions. We'll give guessing lines predictions on all of that coming up on the show. I have no clock, so you have to tell me when we're out. We're out?
Yeah. No. We got about a solid 15 seconds.
Oh, there's the music. The music tells me when we're out. All right. Solid 15 seconds. Where it's construction outside. It's MLK Day. There's all kinds of things happening here at the D. We'll get it figured out. We'll come back. We'll go through these games one by one. We'll do them in reverse order. Let's start with yesterday's as we do a faux guessing lines. Potential matchups coming up on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
A Numbers Game on VC.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSIN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter, all the talk about today's two games and a look back on everything that happened over the weekend in the NFL, plus some Australian Open talk as well. We'll have Zach Cohen on the show a little later on to talk Aussie Open as well, but that's in the newsletter. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox absolutely free. Visit VSIN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Written by the great Bill 80, which Kelly overacted in the video, the nod, head nod.
That was perfect.
Bitterness, 14 takes, but you know. We get tweets at Beat of the Book, Kelly. I just want to read these couple because this will segue right into the game we want to talk about. Las Vegas 514, who's a Skins fan, he said, "Yo, is it me, or can this Dallas loss be one of the most embarrassing moments in Dallas football history? Glad to witness it. LMAO." There is something about, and this might apply to Eagles fans and Giants fans, but it really applies to Skins fans, which is, there's something that takes us back to our childhood. When the Cowboys lose in a playoff game, especially that spectacularly, there is a little thing inside your little boy body where you remember how joyous it was.
Yeah, we had a great Eagles guest on yesterday on Live Bet Sunday. What was the wording he used? It won't be a great weekend if the Eagles don't win, but it can't be a bad weekend since the Cowboys lost.
we used to say it's a great, you know, the however, what happened in a Washington game, win or lose, would determine our mood for the rest of the week. But if Dallas lost, it was still salvaged.
Yeah.
Jason H11, the way Burkhart was carrying on, you talk about Dak and CD, what I brought up earlier. You'd think Dak caught CD with his wife the night before. Remember in Major League when Doran's wife picks up Ricky Vaughn at the bar. I did think it was bizarre how he just kept on about it, and I was like, okay. And then the second half when they finally connected, it sort of got muted. But let's start with that game because that's obviously the one that's going to, I mean, dominate ES. If you get ready for 4 weeks of ESPN talking about it, the demise of the Cowboys. Game started yesterday. Packers won the toss. Oh, we'll do a little guessing lines intro here.
Yeah, kind of guessing lines. A little bit.
We are guessing lines, but we just don't know all the matchups.
Yeah, exactly. This is really guessing when you got multiple matchups to guess.
That's right. It's actually even more fun. So the Packers won the toss. They elected to receive. They go 12 plays, 75 yards. Jones in from 3, touchdown. Packers up 7-0, and they churned clock. 7:08 left of the first quarter. Then Dallas punted, Green Bay punted. Then Dallas gets the ball back, 3rd and 5 at their own 13. Dak picked by Jair Alexander. Oh, boy. Green Bay set up at the 19. 3 plays later, Jones in from 1. 14-0 pack. 14:15 left in the second quarter. Dallas punts again. Green Bay, 10 plays, 93 yards. Love to Dontavion Wicks for 20. 20-0. And, of course, Anders Carlson misses a PAT. As we talked about last week, he always seems to.
How has this guy survived the entire season? I feel like I see him miss a kick every week.
I think that's his 6th missed PAT of the whole season when you include regular season and postseason now. 3:23 left in the second quarter. It's 20-0. And this is when I fired off the tweet, which was hardly original because we had talked about it all last week, and I'm sure others had too, which is, you know, if the Cowboys lose this game, how quickly will Bill Belichick be the head coach? And so I fired off the tweet that I put the over-under on Bill Belichick being announced as the Cowboys head coach at this Friday at noon Eastern. This Friday at noon Eastern. And this was before the next sequence of events where Dallas 2nd and 2 at the Green Bay 40, Dak picked by Darnell Savage, 64 yards to the house. 27-0 Green Bay with 1:43 left in the second quarter. And you thought to yourself, maybe the competitive portion of this game is already over. But Dallas on the last drive of the first half, 12 plays, 55 yards, Dak to Ferguson from 1 out. That was 4 plays after, remember, Devondre Campbell should have picked another Dak pass goal line.
That should have been the second easiest pick.
Yes.
Second easiest is how bad this game was.
And Dallas got bailed.
That was terrible.
Dallas got bailed out. And then they end up scoring on the last play of the half when a false start goes uncalled. Remember, the refs missed that. The officials missed that. So Dak to Ferguson, 27-7 at the half. And you, for a little bit, you said, okay, well, at least they have a double dip opportunity here. If they can matriculate, score another touchdown, you know, maybe they're back in this game.
I thought it was game over if they didn't score that touchdown at the end of the first half.
For sure.
Like, because of that situation, right? They had the chance at the double dip, at least.
Love was 13 of 16 for 185 in the first half. My goodness. But those two turnovers, you know, 14 Green Bay points, one which was a pick six, one which set them up in the red zone. So what happens with that first Dallas drive in the second half? Well, they end up with an Aubrey 34-yard field goal. So 27-10. So, okay, they get a field goal. It keeps them alive also. But at that point, it was over because Green Bay then, so quick, five plays, 75 yards, Jones in from nine, set up by a 46-yard Love to Dobbs connection, 34-10. Then it was all cosmetic. Well, it was 34-16. Remember, Pollard scored in from one. They got flagged on a two-point conversion. Here was the first Mike McCarthy. Here was another Mike McCarthy thing. So Mike McCarthy, who got bailed out in that game against Seattle when he made a horrible decision where Dak threw an incomplete pass, gave Seattle life late. Defense bailed him out. Mike McCarthy, who got bailed out in the Detroit game by the officials and the whole Brad Allen thing when Dak threw an incomplete pass when they should have just run it and milk clock at the end. Here it was. They score. It's 34-16. You got to go for two. They get flagged. And McCarthy decides to kick the long extra point instead of going from two for two from the 12. And they, by the way, Aubrey missed the extra point, too. He doinked it. So it will still remain 34-16. But you have to go for two from the 12 there also.
Yeah.
You can't not try it. Green Bay, three plays, 75 yards. Love to Musgrave for 38. No one was within 20 yards of him. 41-16. And from that point on, it was just cosmetic. Last play, a third quarter, fourth and five at their own 41. Dallas turned over on downs, incomplete. Green Bay did add another score, eight plays, 41 yards, left to Dobbs. I forgot there was another score where they scored on fourth and two to make it 48-16. But then it was Dak to Ferguson to make it 48-24 after the two-point conversion. Sean Clifford came in the game for Green Bay. Dallas went four plays, 91 yards to make it 48-32 after Dak went in from two, Dak to Ferguson on the touchdown. And then Green Bay put their starters back in. Love incomplete pass on third. That was a mistake from Matt LaFleur to throw a pass there to stop the clock, but then Dallas turnover on downs. That was it. 48-32. The score much more cosmetic than it really ought to have been. The Packers just murdering them here from the outset. 48 points tied for the most in franchise postseason history for the Packers. Love 16 of 21 for 272. And even though Dak threw for 403, he was terrible. Should have thrown three picks.
Well, and so much of that was in garbage time, too.
Yes, it was all garbage time. And I keep getting back to this one. So Green Bay advances. By the way, when it was 14-0, I sent out text to everybody. I was like, it's going to be San Francisco minus 10. Is that what it is? I think that's what it was.
That's exactly what it is.
Right, and that was at 14-0 yesterday. Like, that was an obvious spread based on what Green Bay was here at Dallas being just 7. So you figure just add 3 with San Francisco.
Yep.
Getting to Dallas, though.
That game will be Saturday night.
Saturday night.
8 p.m.
That's right. The only thing we know Saturday night is the San Francisco game. We know Sunday morning is the game at Detroit. We know Saturday morning will be the game that Houston goes to.
Right, so we're on the road.
Yeah. But the whole thing with Dak comes back to, what have I said a million times on this show through the years? This is the cruelty of National Football League economics, where unless you have a Hall of Fame quarterback or a quarterback who overperforms on a rookie contract where you can pay everybody else, you are not winning a Super Bowl. It is just the case. Now, I know the Eagles with Nick Foles is an exception, but Carson Wentz was on the rookie deal, so it doesn't really count. You'd have to go all the way back to Brad Johnson in 2002 with Tampa, Trent Dilfer with the Ravens in 2000 to find an exception to this quarterback overperforming on a rookie quarterback slash or a Hall of Famer to win a Super Bowl. So Dak Prescott, who is, you know, 1 year away from the Cowboys having to make another decision on him, he does not fall into this category. No. And so I just, you know, this is the problem. You pay Deshaun Watson $253 million, every dollar guaranteed. You pay Kirk Cousins, you pay Jared Goff, you pay Dak Prescott on this past contract. You're not winning Super Bowls. You're just not. And so they have to make this decision about Dak, much like the Dolphins. We'll get to them with Tua momentarily, because he's about to have the fifth year option on his rookie deal. They're going to have to make a decision in Miami. And I just think this is the problem. You know who I also thought about yesterday? Matt Brown, our own Matt Brown, who correctly said all the time, while Dallas's defense was getting all this hype all year, he said it many times, and he said it on this show, actually, Micah Parsons is the only one generating any kind of pressure. They didn't sack Jordan Love yesterday, and when they did get just the slightest bit of pressure, he destroyed them.
Mm-hmm.
And so your defense isn't as good as it was made out to be either. Maybe Deron Bland's pick six is made us.
Yeah, covered up a lot.
Covered up a lot also.
Yeah, this was, I mean, look, we're not going to be, you know, other four-letter networks talking about the Dallas Cowboys for 4 hours today. But, I mean, to sum it all up, this was, I mean, a complete fell flat on everywhere, right? The Dak was terrible. The defense was terrible. I mean, that first half. How, I mean, the entire game.
Dan Quinn looks worse after that game than Mike McCarthy did.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody looks bad. But you're talking about receivers running wide open in the Dallas secondary. There no pressure being generated. The run game that you knew Green Bay was going to test you with, that you didn't adjust at all throughout the entirety of the game. It was amazing. Terrible coaching, terrible quarterback play. I was shocked.
I don't know if I'm laying 10 with San Francisco, but I think San Francisco advances. They're not going to have the same problem with Green Bay.
I don't think so either. But, man.
Jordan Love.
And Aaron Jones.
Jordan Love,
so good.
Bro. You hold the clipboard. You turn out being good. That's how it works. Coming back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Skill Alexander. It's Kevin Midland live from Bar Canada at the D. Happy MLK Junior Day. This was a huge deal when I was growing up in D.C., had to fight to make this a holiday, to make this a national holiday. Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday is about this. I know a lot of people think, oh, he's just making a happy birthday song. No, it was about this holiday. And so it was a huge deal growing up in D.C. I don't get the impression in my adult life that it really pervaded. I know when I used to work in San Francisco, they used to give us a choice between President's Day and MLK Day. I once got a parking ticket on MLK Day. I remember saying, it's a national holiday. They're like, no, it's not, buddy. I'm like, what?
Once got a
yes,
parking.
It is.
Sorry. I think that was your excuse for getting a parking
ticket. I was like, it's a national. What? You can't. Oh, you can? Oh, never mind.
I got a speeding ticket for going 20 over. Officer, it was Christmas. Come on.
By the way, King Dream Chorus, if you're interested in a great MLK flashback. Do it after the show, though. King Dream Chorus. Okay, we're doing this in an all-out of order. By the way, let me just do this, though. Let me read some tweets here, because some folks have some stuff to say. One, this is from Terry Lash. He says, are you sure Bill would want any part of Dak in that Cowboy team? Here's the case for Bill Belichick going to the Cowboys. The Patriots were just 4-13. And by the way, they were lucky to get to 4, some could say. But 4-13. You're on the Mount Rushmore of NFL head coaches. You don't want it ending that way. And the quickest way you can go to rehab that is to go to a team that has parts in place. And yes, after what I just said, do I think Dak can win a Super Bowl? I don't. But like if Bill Belichick can have a successful season with them, they're already a playoff team at least, right? Could he bring them over the playoff hump? He will think so, and it will rehab that 4-13 quicker than it would with any other team.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I mean, how many, assuming he's an extremely self-confident head coach, which I would kind of hope almost every coach is, right?
But like him especially.
But like, what are you? You know, you're getting a playoff. You are getting a playoff
yeah.
team. So is the difference between you and a Mike McCarthy and a Jason Garrett the fact that you can lead them to a Super Bowl?
should be, right?
I would think there might be, and that Bill Belichick probably thinks there is that kind of difference between him and those other two.
The point is, if you don't think his ego is telling him he's got to rehab that 4-13, trust me, it is. As great a coach as he
plus
is.
Plus what? 14 wins from the record, right? I think it's 14.
14 to tie, 15, I think, okay. To go ahead. Kevin, Clonebone, I know it's a regular season award, but if you reverse the Texans' final game score and Flacco wins in that fashion, is he submitted as comeback player? The voters are only human. Is it possible this cost him that award now? Well, it is a regular season award, so it doesn't cost him. But to your premise, yeah, if that was a regular season game, I think we'd be in here the next week saying there's no chance he wins the comeback player of the year.
Correct.
Yes.
I mean, right. at least how our conversations have went. If that was a week 19,
yes,
we'd be sitting here saying this is done, 100%. Dusted, DeMar Hamlin just won.
100%. Michael Burns, bet Dallas preflop during Packers' first drive. I continually bet pack in game for quite a while. I knew quickly something was amiss. Thanks, Gil. I'm learning. Glad you did that. Jason DeWall, how often do you play many game script in-game plays like Dak over alt passing yards live?
Yep.
I didn't, but in retrospect, of course, good idea. Love the show. Well, I'll tell you who did. Todd did, Will did, Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, they did that. They immediately jumped on it, and the lament afterwards was, why didn't we bet tenfold that on Dak?
I think the over attempts was the first thing I went and looked at. I mean, you basically saw, I mean, we were talking about here on Live Bet Sunday, but we basically saw this same game play out in Houston right the day before, where it was, well, what is Joe Flacco going to do, and what are the Cowboys going to do? Just air it out a million times.
Let's talk about the Rams in Detroit, which was obviously the last of the four games. The only competitive game of the bunch this weekend. Imagine if there was no such thing as betting. Oh, man. What a weekend that would have been. This game, though, this was the one competitive game, which Detroit, of course, wins by a point. Where I, after the game, I was like, Kelly, I don't really know what to make of what I just saw. Because it felt like Detroit should have been killing them early. And then it felt like Detroit had no business winning it late. And all, yet they did.
All I know, Gil, is it was a deadlock under from the get-go, okay? Easiest winner of the weekend for me.
Game started. Detroit, if you recall, 10 plays, 75 yards. Montgomery in from 1-7-0 Lions. Rams came all the way back. 24-yard field goal from Maher. But here's where, again, like, of all the calls I've made this year, Kelly, oh, and I've made some good ones. Carolina Panthers last winless. Jordan Love. The Puka Nacua thing where I said that Cooper Kupp kept, I mean, that Matt Stafford kept feeding his boyfriend all year. I hope now you all know I wasn't joking after watching this game. So, and McVay is terrible in the red zone. So, three incomplete passes there. They end up settling for a field goal, 7-3, Detroit. Detroit comes right back, 5 plays, 75 yards. Gibbs in from 10. It's 14-3, Detroit, with a minute and a half, 1:31 left in the first quarter. And you're like, this is going to be a rout, right? Another rout? Nope. Rams end up with a 3rd and 16. You're already in that mode. Like, is this going to be a route? Stafford to DeMarcus Robinson for 19 at the last play of the first quarter. That led to Stafford to Puka Nacua, 50-yard touchdown, 14-10 Detroit. 13:24 left, second quarter. Detroit comes right back, 11 plays, 75 yards. 4th and goal, Goff to Laporta, who ends up playing from 2 out, 21-10 Detroit. That's another thing about this weekend. First of all, like, the injury reports. There was a few things. Like, there's, like, different rules in the postseason. Not only, like, Laporta on the injury. Oh, he's playing now. But, like, when Patrick Mahomes' helmet got cracked, it's like, okay, now you sit out a play and someone else comes in.
Bizarre.
Oh, no, well, just take all the time you need, Patrick. When Stafford and Puka both went into the tent later and they were like, oh, wait, they're back on the field. How'd they get cleared so quickly? Anyway, 21-10 Detroit. Rams end up with 4th and 5, the Detroit 44, Stafford to cut for 6, next play, Stafford to 2-2 for 38, 2-2 Atwell, 21-17 Detroit. That ends the half after Detroit ends up punting and the Rams get the ball at the end of the half. So it's 21-17, what turned into a game that looked at first like the Lions were going to blow them out, then it just became a shootout, 21-17 at the half. And Dan Campbell with Melissa Stark on the way back onto the field. They haven't punted. He was very angry about that. Very emotional. All right, Rams start with the ball, though, right? They get the ball, try to, you know, take a lead here. They end up punting on the first drive of the half. They waste a timeout during that sequence. File that away. Detroit ends up with a Badgley 54-yard field goal, which I thought was a bad decision to let him kick it. He nails it,
yeah, me too.
Which I didn't think Badgley was capable of. 24-17. I know he's capable in the past, but he wasn't having a good stretch here. 24-17 Lions, 8:41 left in the third quarter. Kelly, that's the last time they would score. Just those 3 points in the second half for the Lions, 24-17. Then the Rams come down. They match it with a Maher 27-yard field goal to make it 24-20. Remember, that was the drive where Stafford had to go to the tent and Puka had to go to the tent. Detroit punts again. Rams matriculate again. Maher 29-yard field goal to make it 24-23 with 8:10 left in the fourth quarter. They burned another timeout, the Rams did. On that drive, file that away. That's two burn now. So there's that. Detroit, 3-0. Oh, by the way, that was the sequence also when they settled for the Maher field goal to cut it to 24-23, where Chris Collinsworth finally voiced what I've been voicing all year, which is they got to stop trying to feed Cooper Kupp down there. And I'm like, hallelujah. If only somebody hadn't been screaming about this all year. In more colorful terms, like myself. Detroit 3-and-out, 7:18 fourth quarter. Rams down a point. They get it to, here's the fascinating part of the game. It ends up being 4th-and-4. No, so they end up getting matriculating into the Lions territory. There's a penalty called on the Rams. And so Dan Campbell has a choice. Does he decline it and allow it to be 4th-and-4, which would have precipitated a 52-yard field goal try for Maher, or does he take the penalty and make it 3rd-and-14 from outside of field goal range? He takes the penalty.
Yeah.
And I will be honest with you, in the moment I thought to myself, I'm like, wow, I think I would have let Maher try that 52-yarder because I don't think he could have made it. I could have been wrong. We'll never know. He takes the penalty.
I agreed with it, but this is one of those, I'm like, this decision is really tough.
Really tough. 3rd-and-14, Stafford incomplete to Nacua. And when I say incomplete, no call for anything. Not a defensive hold, not a PI, not a illegal hit. We have snapshots and we have a tweet on both of these. Nothing called. Nothing. So there's the hold on the left if you're watching at VSiN.com or on YouTube TV here. There's the hold on the left or on the DK Network. There's the interference on the right.
Yep.
When the ball's in the air. You take your pick. And then he just got smacked by two people. By the way, Matt Stafford, when he hurt his hand, and he was like he got hit. I can't believe there was no flag on that. The one where he got hit twice and he banged his foot. But here's Coach Dan Casey. Pick one. Defensive holding, pass interference, late hit. None of them called. And so Detroit ends up punting, which how in the world does Sean McVay punt when you only have one timeout left there? Just at least go, at least try it on 4th-and-14. Yeah. They never see the ball again. Never see the ball again. By the way, the Rams should have considered letting them score like a 60-yard touchdown just to get the ball back down 8. Or maybe Dan Campbell would have gone for 2 anyway. I don't know. But I'm just saying, it was just a coaching nightmare at the end. We're coming back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And Kelly, sometimes I come in here, you tell me I look like a marshmallow, and now you're telling me I look like a polar bear.
Oh, my God, you brought it up before I could.
Decide which it is. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours.
So I saw that first commercial break last night. I see it as I'm like walking to the kitchen and I'm like, wait, did I just hear that right? And I'm like, nah, I couldn't possibly have heard it right.
Yeah, man.
And then it plays the second time, and I meant to text you. I forgot to text you. I was like, this is – obviously, she said it so funny. They felt like they had to switch out the line. Like, clearly, we were not the only people, seizing on the marshmallow thing.
Yeah. Talk about Zoe Saldana, by the way. All inside jokes here. The beautiful Zoe Saldana, just decided to edit the end of the commercial.
Right, how many other takes did they do that, right? Like, it was like marshmallow, polar bear.
We could get a rhinoceros next week. I have no idea. Or anything else.
Oh, man, I'm dying.
We get texts. We get tweets. We get text. This is from Richard Palma, who says, is it too late for my Jordan Love MVP ticket? Is it too late for my Matt LaFleur Coach of the Year ticket? Is it too late? Is it too late for my Puka Nacua shared offensive rookie of the year ticket? Like, I mean, some of these were such great bets, and they're not going to get home.
I mean, we brought it up already this year, but like that was a game, like that everybody not named Gil Alexander is sitting watching that game yesterday with Puka Nacua, and you're just like, you showed up in the wrong year.
Yeah,
that's the worst I can say. Yep. Like it is, you had an incredible season. You showed up in the wrong.
It's like I say about Tommy Hearns' entire boxing career. I'm like, his only misfortune was that he showed up when Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler were boxing.
It applies to all the tennis greats, right? Like the fact that Federer, all
generation.
Those guys, playing at the same time.
We get tweets. Chris Hartman, Gil, to your point, the entire 21 quarterback draft class. Started year one, except for Trey Lance. And Love, who sat for 3 years, is better by miles. The instant gratification quarterback culture has to change. Burrow and Stroud, and I'll add my man Justin Herbert to that as well, are the exception, not the rule. Bryce Young could have used an intern year. Absolutely. Chris Sells. It seems all the talk is Harbaugh to the Raiders in Seattle. I would think the Patriots would be a great fit for him. Your thoughts? My thoughts are the Patriots have already hired their coach, Gerard Mayo. I don't know if you heard that. Phil Weiss. Oh, boy, Phil Weiss is angry. Belichick made over $150 million riding the coattails of a sixth-round pick. Why would he allow himself to be exposed as the fraud that he's always been by taking the Dallas job? Easy, Phil Weiss. Judd O'Connor. I'm sure you saw this.
Really fired people up in the past week.
Oh, yeah. Judd O'Connor, he's sending me the picture of Stafford with the eyes when he was knocked down. He said, granted, I'm happy he came back with my Stafford completed passes prop, but are there fines coming for that? And then shots of Buffalo with people still taking down taking snow off the field here today. They got some work to do. And Bruce Dobig and those with Cooper Kupp anytime touchdowns were telling Collinsworth to shut up. You're telling me to shut up also if you'd heard me. All right, which game you want to go to next year, Kelly?
You know what? I got we didn't do – did we do a guess?
We didn't do a guess.
I got theoretical lines actually from DraftKings.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think they're posted.
So, again, I had Green Bay as a 10-point dog at San Francisco, and then I have if it's – Tampa Bay that wins tonight, I have them as 6.5-point dogs at Detroit. And if it's Philly, keeping in mind that if Philly wins, some of that Philly feeling might start to seep into people's brains, I would say Detroit -2.5.
Okay, so the lines I got from DraftKings this morning, Lions 3 over the Eagles, Lions 7 over the Bucks.
So I'm a half-point
each. Yeah, half-point low on each.
Okay.
Currently not posted.
I have a feeling my AFC guesses are going to be farther off, but I think that's about right.
Okay. All right, let's go to Saturday afternoon. Let's do the great Texans-Browns game.
Oh, the first game on Saturday.
Yeah.
This was a great – Saturday was a great day for my exactas because I have San Francisco beating Baltimore, Kansas City, and Buffalo.
Got knocked out.
I also have Baltimore beating – San Francisco, which won't win me as much, but I have that also. So, like, Cleveland and Miami getting knocked out was perfect because I never had bets on those. But Cleveland goes out first at Houston. Remember, this was weird at the beginning. Cleveland punted on the first drive. It was nearly blocked. Then Houston, they had a pass to Dalton Schultz, which he just straight up dropped, and they had to punt. Then Cleveland with another three and out. Then Houston ended up third and six of the Cleveland 41. Stroud to Collins for 38, setting up first and goal of the three. And Houston had to settle for a Fairbairn 21-yard field goal. So the Schultz drop and then not cashing in on the second drive, it only ended up being 3-0 Houston, 5:29 left in the first quarter. And then Cleveland got into it, right? Flacco to Njoku for 45 on the first play. Five plays later, Hunt in from one, 7-3 Cleveland. Houston did match it. Four plays, 75 yards. Singletary for 29, then to Mechie for 27. Two plays later to Collins from 15 out. 10-7 Houston. Final seconds of the first quarter. But then Cleveland came right back. Flacco to Harrison Bryant for 47. End of the first quarter. Five plays later, Flacco to Hunt for 11. 14-10 Cleveland. 12-18 left in the second quarter. And you're like, wow, this is going to be a shootout too. Houston, one play. Stroud to Brevin Jordan for 76. 17-14 Texans. I'm like, what are we watching?
I know.
17-14 Houston, 12 minutes left in the second quarter, the longest pass play of the season, longest play of the season for the Texans. Then on the first play of the ensuing drive, a PI that goes uncalled on Njoku. Remember, Flacco goes to Njoku. He's clearly interfered with, no flags. Mm-hmm. And it felt like from that moment on, nothing would ever go Cleveland's way again. They end up with a three and out. Houston gets Tunsil back, who was out for a little bit. Stroud overthrows Collins wide open downfield on third down. So there was a three and out. So it was still a three-point game. But Cleveland punted again. Houston, eight plays, 71 yards. Stroud to Schultz for 37, touchdown. 24-14, Houston, 1:11 left in the second quarter. And that would be the score at the half. Cleveland's last three drives in the first half, 0 points, 18 yards. And then in the third quarter, Houston would punt, and here's where the game obviously gets out of hand. First and 10 at their own 34, first and 10 at the Houston 34, Flacco under pressure, throws it up, picked by Steven Nelson, 82 yards of the house, 31-14 Houston. Cleveland next possession, fourth and two at their own 33, Flacco pick six to Christian Harris, 38-14. The competitive portion of this game was over. Cleveland never did anything again. Turnover on downs. And the game fizzled from there, and a turnover on downs to close things out. So, by the way, here is the entirety of Cleveland's drives for the entire game. They lose huge to the Texans. They lose 45-14 in a completely non-competitive football game. But here's all 10 Houston drives. Punt, three and out.
Cleveland drives, right?
Cleveland drives from the beginning of the game. Punt, three and out. Touchdown. Three and out, punt, halftime. 11 drives. Second half, pick six, downs. Turnover on downs. Those three. So they literally had, out of 11 drives, one of which was the end of the half, but let's say 10 legit drives, two touchdowns, three turnover on downs, three punts, two pick sixes.
It's almost like they had a 38-year-old Joe Flacco quarterback in their team with absolutely no running game, Gil.
It's almost like we said a million times last week, he's got a stinker in him.
It's going to happen at some point. And that was a I had the over of the game. I'm happy it resulted that way. But, yeah, that was the Cleveland dud that I think was coming at some point.
I talked myself into Houston last week. I'm glad I did. Because the second game, Miami, I got completely wrong. So I'm happy it did happen. But a lot of people had talked themselves into Cleveland being, remember the question was, who's the team you don't want to play in the playoffs? If it's not Baltimore and San Francisco, who's the team that gets there?
That answer became Cleveland.
That answer became Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yes, for a lot of people. Yeah, not so much. Not so much.
I mean, I'm still going to say it's Buffalo if they count. I don't know if they count anymore. But, Houston, I don't want to play this team right now.
Well,
this kid,
he's great.
He cannot be phased, Gil. I mean, this is wide receivers go down, offensive linemen go down. It doesn't matter. They can't run the ball. It doesn't matter.
C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love. doing things that people didn't think they could do.
It's incredible. I think probably the Texans' defense shows up and lets them down at some point here during this run, but Stroud's
in addition to my Matt LaFleur Coach of the Year and Puka Nacua Offensive Rookie of the Year tickets, where do I go to cash those? Where do I go to cash my NFL draft first pick in the draft C.J. Stroud tickets? Where do I go? I can't. Those are gone.
We're not going to shut up about that for years.
Houston at Kansas City. These are either one of these is going to be in Saturday morning. Houston, they stick in the Saturday morning. Saturday early, I should say. Houston at KC. I have KC -7.5. If it's Houston at Baltimore, I have Baltimore -10.
I'm taking 7.5 with the Houston Texans if that's the line.
Wait, which is – there's two options. Which one is which? You'll tell us after the break.
Yeah.
Okay.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We appreciate it. Thanks for making us part of your Martin Luther King Jr. birthday holiday. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada here at the D, the Barrage. So before we went into break, well, let me read these tweets real quick. Just three of them. I don't want to get too far into them. Steven Vegas, who's in charge of the lead in and out music today from commercial breaks? Dan Quinn? What's wrong with our music? Anything? I think it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Oh, can't hear me. Bruce Dobigan reacting to not only Chris Collinsworth killing Sean McVay for his play calling and Matt Stafford trying to feed Cooper Kupp incessantly. And I said that you're also telling me to shut. He adds, he goes, and you shut up by your face too, Gil. He says, Nevada Azer, what a gift McVay got facing Zach Taylor in Super Bowl 56. His play calling still leaves a lot to be desired. Yes, listen, people love Sean McVay. He was 30 when he got the job, or just the youngest coach ever. And he won a Super Bowl. But I will say this again. If you watch that team all year, and I know there was the Kyron Williams stretch down the end where they sort of figured it out, but there was a massive part of the season where they just tried to force feed Cooper Kupp too much. You saw a little of it yesterday as well. And I think he's a terrible play caller in the red zone also. And so I do think in a certain respect, he is a skosh overrated. Rams money gets there though. The Rams do get the cover. They just don't get the game in a game where once again, I feel like the other three were blowouts. In this one, I was just sort of at the end, I was like, I don't know how I even feel about that game because it felt like the Lions should have been crushing them and the Rams were just banged up. I mean, Stafford's hand, then his head, I mean, everything. And then I felt like the Lions had no business winning it, only scoring 3 points in the second half. So I was sort of like, what you called it before the break. It was like a competition of mediocre head coaching.
Yeah, it was just, it felt like a game that from what you had seen in the first half, like at some point in the second half, we were going to get more fireworks out of it, and it just kind of never happened. It was just kind of limped to the finish line.
I agree that I think that the fourth and four versus the third and 14 was a really interesting choice. where in the moment, if I'm being honest, I thought he made the wrong one. I would have let Maher kick the 52-yarder. Try it. But Dan Campbell took that penalty. Then no call made on that 3rd-and-14 from Stafford and Nacua. Not a PI, not a hold, not a late hit. And then Sean McVay doesn't even go for it on 4th-and-14. He punts it with one timeout left. If you have three timeouts left, different story. But if you have one timeout left, there's so much pressure on your defense to, like, get them off the field. Yeah. And they couldn't. And then, by the way, there is that other thing at the end where it's sort of like, well, what do you do here? Do you just sort of matador them into the end zone? Like, here, go 60 yards and score real quick if you would. But who knows then what Dan Campbell does. I'm just saying, it's like, it was just such a fitting end, if you will, to the Sean McVay experience. And I don't feel all that confident about the Lions. We guessed that line, and you said I was a half point light on whether it's either the Bucs or the Eagles at the Lions. Before we went to break, I made the guesses about Houston because we talked about the Houston game. If it's Houston at Kansas City, I said 7.5. If it's Houston at Baltimore, I said, did I say 10 or 10.5? I wrote them down. I sent you. I want to be accurate to what my guess was. 10. I said 10 on the button. Yep. And you're saying you would, you don't know what those lines are, but you said you'd grab the 7.5 in a heartbeat, you said?
I think I would. Yep. I would.
Even if it's freezing and same game conditions and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to pump the brakes a little bit there.
Which I was so here's the thing. Let's talk about Miami, Kansas City.
I don't know for sure I'd be betting it then. We'd have to wait and see. Yeah. But.
So Miami at Kansas City, the one game we haven't talked about yet, starts out -4 degrees Fahrenheit with a wind chill of -27. By the end of the game, it got to -9 Fahrenheit and -28 wind chill. I talked about the Peacock of Michigas at the beginning, like, oh, be a part of history. Really? Thanks so much. What an opportunity, NFL and Peacock. And then the Mahomes helmet thing. Like, the helmets are chipping. And it's like we're still playing this game.
Like Terminator 2 out there. He was just so frozen over. One hit just cracked the whole helmet.
I couldn't have been more wrong about this game. I immediately, on guessing lines last week, grabbed the Dolphins. I said the Chiefs shouldn't be more than 3-point favorites over anybody at this point in the playoff situation. Then when the week went on and the cold became a big deal, I regretted it. I was like, oh, I got the worst of it. This is bad. I don't feel so great about it. In the end, we'll talk about it after this, but was it the cold? Was it Tua? Was it the injuries? Was it the fact that Dolphins just would have lost the same way if it wasn't that cold? The game started out.
I wasn't involved in this one. I was dead wrong, though, too. You can't tell me for a second. Like, of all the things we talked about with the weather with this game this past week, I don't believe for a second that the Dolphins weren't vastly more affected by that than the Kansas City Chiefs.
That was exactly what I was going to bring up at the end of this synopsis, which is if the Dolphins end up using that as a tacit or spoken excuse, that's a bad thing. Because I'm not sure it ends up differently. I can't prove it, right? I can't prove that it wouldn't have ended up differently.
Sure.
I didn't get that impression.
It's an NFL playoff game. You can't be using those type of excuses. But yes, I felt like it mattered a whole lot more for Miami.
Kansas City started 9 plays, 69 yards. Mahomes to Rice from 11, 7-0 KC. Miami 3-and-out. Then a Kansas City 3-and-out after Hardman, remember, couldn't track that deep ball for Mahomes. Miami had a 2nd-and-inches at their own 44 on the subsequent drive. That turned into a 3rd-and-6 at their own 39. Tua picked by Mike Edwards on the overthrow. 3:03 left in the first quarter. Still Kansas City up 7-0. Butker would add a field goal to make it 10-0 early second quarter. And then Miami, 2 plays. Tua to Tyreek from 53 to cut it to 10-7. You're like, all right, maybe Miami's got something. Nope. Kansas City 4th-and-5 at the Miami 38. Mahomes for 28 on the ground. They settle for a Butker field goal, 13-7 Kansas City. Settling for Butker field goals ends up being the theme of this game and kept this score muted, quite frankly. Yep. Miami 4th-and-1 at the KC 44. Tua incomplete intended for Reek after a 3rd-and-1 went incomplete. Then Kansas City 3-and-out after a defensive hold went uncalled on Brandon Jones covering Hardman. So the Dolphins actually caught a break there down 6. Miami 3-and-out, 1:55 left in the second quarter. Kansas City would add another Butker field goal before the end of the half, 16-7 at halftime. And if you're Kansas City and you're only down 9, you're thinking to yourself, that ain't that bad, actually. Because they were out, they were... You know, Tua at that play was at that point was 6 of 11 for 94, with 53 of them coming on the one Tyreek touchdown. and they were being outgained 257 to 136, the Dolphins were at the half. At halftime, the Dolphins had five total first downs. The Chiefs had had four trips inside the red zone. So five first downs for the Dolphins, four trips inside the red zone for the Chiefs, and the Chiefs were only leading by nine. Third quarter, Miami had the ball first, too. So you're thinking, man, they could actually make this a really tight game, but three and out. Kansas City, Butker, 21-yard field goal to make it 19-7. That was the drive where Mahomes chipped the helmet on the 13-yard run. But they had to settle for that field goal there, 19-7. Miami, another punt. KC then blew it open. 14 plays, 72 yards. Pacheco in from three, made it 26-7. Then Miami turnover on downs. Kansas City three and out. Miami turnover on downs. Kansas City up with that score. A fumble by Clyde Edwards-Helaire late. And even with 108 to go, Miami couldn't do anything with that, even cosmetically. So that was your final score, 26-7. Chiefs, they cover easily as five-point favorites, and quite frankly, the game wasn't that close. And so I get back to that question at the beginning, which is, first of all, good on the Chiefs. If Pittsburgh wins here, if Pittsburgh wins here, Kansas City would actually get another home game. So there is a scenario today where if Pittsburgh somehow beat Buffalo, where we still would not get to see a Patrick Mahomes road playoff game. Now, if Buffalo does win, we will see our first Patrick Mahomes road playoff game next week at Buffalo, if Buffalo wins tonight, and then Houston would go to Baltimore. So good on the Chiefs. You know, sometimes just Patrick Mahomes himself is, you know, he's the best player on the field. Will Hill had an interesting comment this week. Or during this game, he said he feels like Patrick Mahomes is still the best player in the NFL and that the difference between him and the second best player is a wider gap than he ever remembers in any other year ever. And my instant reaction was, that can't be. And then you start thinking about it, you're like, well, if you think Patrick Mahomes is still by far the best player in the NFL, maybe it is the widest gap ever this year. I don't know. But good on the Chiefs. And as far as the Dolphins, I get back to the same thing I was talking about Dak earlier, which is Dak, who's already had one big contract with Tua, they already exercised the option on him for the fifth year. So he's under contract for this coming year. You going to pay Tua? By the way, after the game, first thing he does is ask for Patrick Mahomes' jersey. Did that bother you? He's a little too chipper after that loss? That bothered a lot of people.
No, I didn't see that.
I didn't love that myself, quite frankly. But I just wonder if the Dolphins can make a long-term commitment to that guy who clearly didn't seem like could throw the ball downfield in that game.
No, he couldn't. I mean, this was as it was completely one-sided. I mean, they struggled, but the whole team struggled. That was, I think, what you brought up at the beginning, though, is important for people to keep in mind. The Chiefs team, we talked a lot about them not being able to win by margin. Okay, they won by margin here, but like that margin should have been a whole lot more. This team's still settling for field goals when they should be scoring touchdowns. I think that's the biggest thing I took away from this.
Give the Dolphins defense some credit for that, as injury depleted as they were. So I just think, you know, from a Dolphins perspective, was it the fact that half of their defense was out? Was it the cold weather? Was it the fact they're just not all that good? And I get back to something we said all year long, and maybe this should have been the easiest handicap in the world, Kelly. What did I say all year long about the Cowboys and the Dolphins? Bullies.
Yep.
And they get to the postseason, someone their own size picked on them.
Yeah.
Picked right back on them.
I still expected the Packers to be bullied in that game, but no, not at all, apparently.
The ultimate bullies. The Dolphins at least have an injury excuse. Cowboys have no such excuse.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge through the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up today and get your first 30 days for only $9.99 to see everything that VSiN has to up your betting game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Couple things. One, Kelly, did you see this? Did you see this ridiculous Tony Dungy, Rod Woodson thing?
No, I actually didn't. I saw people tweeting about Dungy. I don't know what they were tweeting about.
Tony Dungy fears Taylor Swift is part of why NFL fans are, quote, disenchanted, unquote. First of all, like,
so sick of these. I'm so sick of these Taylor Swift comments, but like, B, what are we disenchanted about?
First of all, who thinks no one's watching the NFL? Like,
right,
who thinks people
like,
aren't disenchanted?
What is that
with the
supposed
NFL?
To mean?
Because I think he was told some report like young people aren't watching the NFL. I said, first of all, if anything, Taylor Swift is bringing in more people to watch the NFL than otherwise wouldn't have. Secondly, Rod Woodson said it's about gambling that people. I'm like, Rod, my man, are you kidding me? Like, if there was no such thing as gambling held up your league since the beginning of time. Like, what are you guys talking about? By the way, if there were to ever be anybody disenchanted with the NFL, it's because it ain't like it used to be. It's the game itself.
Yes.
It's not about gambling or Taylor Swift. So that was the first thing. I'm like, what are these guys talking about?
That's bizarre.
What in the world?
I'm getting so tired of these comments. I saw someone tweet yesterday. I saw a great tweet yesterday. It was a picture of Eminem from the Lions game.
Uh-huh.
The tweet was like, oh, God, they cut to Eminem again. Can we just get back to the football game and stop showing celebrities all the time in the box? It's like, it is. It's exactly that. Like, come on.
All right, I gave guesses on almost all of the potential matchups, but not all of them. And let's do them chronologically for next week. So Houston is in the early Saturday time slot because that is their birthright. I said if it's at Kansas City, I said -7.5. If it's at Baltimore, I said -10. That's going to depend on the Buffalo Steelers outcome today. Green Bay at San Francisco, which we know is locked in on Saturday night. When it was 14-0 yesterday, I guessed San Francisco -10. That is, in fact, what it is. Then
I did bet the over on that game.
Oh, what is it?
It's 50, 50 and a half, 50 right here at Circa. I bet it right as this got released yesterday. I guess the one surprising thing to note of this game is since it got posted last night, there's been like no movement whatsoever.
None whatsoever. Because that's exactly what it ought to be. 10.
Yeah.
San Francisco team total over become an auto bet for that game?
I really like that too.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet the over already. I think, yes, San Francisco team total over, isolating that probably, yes. I think that's probably a great call.
Yeah.
I opened with a small play on the over 50 because I wanted to see where that would move because I think it's probably only going up, but I think the bigger bet is probably team total over.
Because they score, man, no matter what the situation.
They score, yeah. And, like, I mean, Green Bay, I'm sorry, I just don't think you're going to be able to. I mean, I was so impressed with the offense yesterday that is the reason I bet the over in this game, that I actually think Green Bay might actually be able to score some points. But this San Francisco offense at home with a week off, it's a tall task. It's going to be a tall task to cover 10 points. But I think that team total going over, I'll be betting that.
By the way, how comical was the Packers, for as great as they played, the Packers postgame locker room where Matt LaFleur, the parts of the hype speech he gave was, we're the first 7 seed in the history of the NFL. It's like, 7 seeds just like started a second ago.
I didn't hear that. That's
I thought
great.
That was a little much. This is, again, it's like it should go without saying, but apparently, like, I've heard some people say things counter to this, which is the fact is there is no bigger advantage than not having to play this week, right?
Right, yes.
The Ravens and the – you can handicap all these other things all the way you want. The fact that you don't have to play a game this week, the fact that you get to play one less game, one fewer game than everybody else, is the biggest advantage you could possibly have in anything. And the Niners here, 10-point favorites of the Packers.
And it doesn't mean
– hosting the Packers.
It doesn't necessarily mean – you break it down so well every time, but, like, the – when we have the 7-game series in the NBA, right, and like, this is one game. It's just one game. And we talk about this a lot with Survivor, but it's like winning a Super Bowl. You get in the tournament and you got to hit a parlay, whether it's a 3-game or a 4-game parlay, you got to hit that as a team to win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
It is tough. So the biggest advantage you have is not having to play.
Not having to play, period. Pontificate about anything else. And then Sunday morning, so the Green Bay San Francisco game is Saturday night. The home game for Detroit is going to be Sunday morning. They will host the winner of tonight's game between the Bucks and the Eagles. I guessed Detroit hosting Philly would be 2.5. I said hosting Tampa Bay would be 6.5.
Oh, yeah, I don't think we've gone over those.
We haven't gone over the next one I'm getting to. The Detroit, Tampa, and Detroit, Philly?
Did we go over the Detroit options?
Yeah, because you said I was a half point low on each of them.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay. because you apparently saw what those might be. So I am a half point low on those guesses again. Detroit, I had 2.5 hosting Philly, and Detroit 6.5 against Tampa. Kelly tells me that would be 3-7.
Yeah, DraftKings have put in some theoreticals up, yeah.
Okay. So this one we hadn't. Now, the late options on Sunday we haven't guessed, which I will guess now, which is Pittsburgh at Baltimore or KC at Buffalo are the only two other options. So Pittsburgh at Baltimore or KC at Buffalo, because remember, Houston is locked into the early Saturday no matter who they play. So if Pittsburgh beats Buffalo, I would say Pittsburgh is a 10.5-point dog at Baltimore. I would add the hook to what is today's line. And if it's KC at Buffalo, Patrick Mahomes' first ever road playoff game, is what that would be if Buffalo wins tonight, or wins today, pardon me. I said Buffalo minus 2.5 in that game. Less than a field goal.
Yeah, it obviously depends what we see today a little bit. But
obviously.
I think you're dead on with those. Like, I think you're pretty close to dead on.
Yeah, I don't think these are that difficult to sort of guess.
I think Bills, if it is Bills under 3, probably a bet for me, depending on what they look like today.
How about the line? I think the one that sort of interests me is if the Eagles look good tonight.
Right, yeah.
And I happen to win that bet, right? Those of us who have Philly win that. And Philly looks not necessarily even dominant, but let's say they look solid in victory at Tampa Bay. The fact that the Lions would only, my guess was 2.5. Kelly's telling me it'll be 3. Let's say it's 3. Does that feel like a Lions play to you then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that...
I think that's why I kind of stopped before. It was like, hey, we didn't go over these enough yet. Because, yes, I wanted to talk about that Lions side.
Because with a lot of these teams, in the moment, we feel like, wow, C.J. Stroud and the Texans. Jordan Love and the Packers. The comeuppance can come pretty suddenly and pretty abruptly next week. I'm not saying it will, but it could very well be, and no one will be surprised. So a lot of these teams have a level, and I just feel like this is kind of the level for a lot of teams. Like Philly, even if they're able to get by this week, it's so funny, Joe Pita.
I think you're making a great point on Philly. Real quick.
Yeah.
Like I think that if you asked odds makers to set what a Philly-Detroit line would be right now.
Before this game. Yeah.
If Philly wins this game, and like you're saying, doesn't even look dominant, but if they look like they have a pulse, something we haven't seen basically in the past 5 weeks, I think that line moves 1.5 from whatever they would have said it before this game today. If that all makes sense.
Joe Pita, who's obviously a frequent guest of this show, who's joined us for all kinds of things, baseball in the past, golf, obviously Survivor. He's a Philadelphia native, and he sent me something tongue-in-cheek yesterday, but not necessarily tongue-in-cheek, because he's a Philly fan. And he's like, okay, Gil, this was after the Cowboys got crushed. He says, in the aftermath of that glorious Dallas destruction, because that's the one thing Philly and D.C. fans have in common, he goes, I'm going to speak this into existence. He goes, Eagles win tonight in Tampa as a 1-point favorite. Then they win at home versus the Rams. Remember, then they win at home versus the Rams as a 1-point favorite. Then they're at home versus Green Bay as a 1-point favorite in the championship. He said that would be the Eagles' path to being a favorite in every game. Obviously, that didn't happen. The Eagles are a favorite here tonight, but after this, they will not be. And so I do think, like, projecting forward to those guesses and to what might be actual, anticipating what game you would really like to pounce on, I think that might be it. And I'm not even that big of a Detroit fan,
right,
but I feel like that's the game where it all just goes to hell for the Eagles once and for all in front of everybody.
Well, and the two big things there, right, would be two of the big injury notes there, right?
Yeah.
A.J. Brown, I'm not positive he's back in a week even.
That's
you
right.
know what I mean? Like that, a knee injury like that, who knows? I mean, who knows at this point how bad it really is, because they might be even covering up how bad it is at this point while they're still alive in the playoffs. And then, I mean, I got duped on Sam Laporta yesterday. I went into the game with such great thoughts of like, hey, this might be the Rob Gronkowski fake out. Like, late to see
these
plays
did.
And you can bet live unders.
Yep.
But then I saw him in those first two plays, and I was like, They're pulling him on to make a block.
That's
I'm like,
right.
He's got to be fine. I'm hitting this over live. And then that died.
His little counter-trang, Joe Gibbs counter-trang.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They faked me out.
We'll come back. A little talk about the Australian Open. We'll get back to football on the other side. Tennis's first major going on. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.